You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, I'm Elisa Gardner, host of Develop Your Character, brought to you by Camp Broadway. We're bringing you candid conversations with theater educators, industry experts and insiders, and savvy parents, geared toward helping culture-loving kids and aspiring artists become great performers on and off stage at every stage of their lives. Our guest today is Tara Rubin, founder and head of Tara Rubin Casting, which since 2001 has cast hit musicals such as School of Rock, Mamma Mia, Jersey Boys, Aladdin, and many, many others, in addition to high-profile Broadway productions of plays and productions at top-tier regional theaters. Before forming her own company, Tara worked for 15 years at Johnson Lipp Associates on various other high-profile shows. Her current productions include musical adaptations of The Secret of My Success, A Walk on the Moon, and The Outsiders. And Tara is also a judge at the Jimmy Awards, which launched Dear Evan Hansen star Andrew Barth Feldman and others. Longtime client Rick Lee says, Tara and her team aren't merely casting people, they are creative partners. They treat each project with the kind of care and respect and attention that parents try to give their kids. And that seems like a pretty good place to start this podcast. Thanks so much for joining us, Tara.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Great. Well, when you were a kid, did you have any interests or inclinations that in retrospect would have pointed you in the direction you went? Were you really into theater?
I loved the theater. I loved movies, television, dance. My third grade teacher, Miss Victoria Cradaville in St. Louis, she showed us a film strip, which probably people who are listening don't know what that is, but it was an educational tool that, you know, was like a film strip in a projector that projected images on a screen, and she showed us a film strip about the Globe Theater, and then she read us passages from Julius Caesar, and she was a very progressive teacher, an incredible teacher. And so that really, I always sort of think back to, like, after that, I sort of saw everything in terms of, like, its performability, you know? And I thought about language differently after that. So that was definitely the start. And then, you know, we lived in suburbs and not in places where there was a lot of theater. But my parents took us to the things that we could get to. And we saw some national tours. We went to the St. Louis Muni Opera. And we saw, you know, everything we could on television. So that was my background. And it was a lot of sitting in a backyard or, dancing in a backyard, pretending that I was, you know, Juliet or Rosalind or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, it was a lot of imagination involved more than actual training. Although I was allowed to take, I took ballet. I took tap and ballet.
So, great. So bit the of a classics, dancer. It sounded like, with your yeah. drama, your early drama experience.
Yes.
When did you become aware of the role of a casting director? In fact, why don't you explain for everybody, because not everybody listening may know, what exactly it is that a casting director does.
Sure. A casting director is hired by either a regional theater or a commercial producer to find the actors who will be the cast of whatever show is being produced. So we are brought on board to help tell the story, find the right people to tell the story. If a show is on Broadway or a national tour and it requires its long, you know, it's a long-running show and it requires replacement casting, we stay on and take care of all of that as well as the original company. So some shows like Phantom of the Opera, we've been casting. I started that at Johnson Lyft, and so, you know, I've been there. I was the casting assistant for the original company, and
oh, wow.
We continue to do that at our office. So it's fun to have those kind of long-ranging, enduring relationships with a project, and you see how it changes over the years. And that's what a casting director basically does. You know, we're there to serve the imaginations of the team, of the writer and director, musical director. It's not just a soprano. It's a soprano who sounds like this, or a soprano who, you know. And so we are there to offer our understanding of the actors we know. We're there to continue to search for actors we don't already know, if they seem more, you know, if that seems like an appropriate step. And so it's always sort of it's an ongoing aspect of theater production.
Right. Particularly, I would imagine, with big hits like Phantom and some of the other shows you've worked on have been running for years and years at
yes.
this point. What is your interaction like with the director, with the musical director, with a playwright, you know, that all of those creative players?
Well, for me, that's my favorite part of what we do, hearing what a director has to say, watching directors work with actors, you know, everybody. Each director does it differently. Some are incredibly gracious and, you know, meet an actor at the door, say, you know, they say hello, they say goodbye, and that's always a beautiful kind of, you know, creative situation to be in. Some directors are actually kind of shy, and they don't say very much to the actors, and they're, you know, it's not the most comfortable situation for them. So that's when we try to help bridge the gap between the actor's experience and the director's experience, and, you know, try to help them meet a little bit more. There's a lot of kind of hosting and a lot of emotional intelligence at play in casting, you know, like when it's time to take a break, when it's time to say, should we get a coffee? Can I send someone for coffee? Or, you know, when it's time to pause, when it's time to really try to speed things up because you see energy flagging. And also, I think, you know, one thing I always try to do is keep the creative conversation as positive as I can. There is a tendency sometimes for people to say, you know, negative things about it, about, you know, we just try to never let anything get negative. If a person isn't appropriate, we say, okay, let's go on to the next person, you know. And so so there's a lot of that besides knowing who we think are the best actors to tell the story. There's that aspect of it. And there's also, I think, the aspect of knowing a director's work. And so, you know, if it's a director I've never worked with, I will do a lot of research and look at the actors he's worked with, look at the plays he's done, and try to get a sense of the tone and the sensibility. Try to serve his mind and get as close to it as I can before we even get started.
Well, that's a lot, you know, part diplomat, part...
Yes, yes.
That's a
part
lot
caterer.
Of stuff to do, right? No, food is important always.
It is.
In breaking the ice. How does somebody get to see you, and how would he or she prepare?
Well, we do a lot of equity required calls. So those are auditions that are the producers are required to do by the terms of the contract that they hold with the union. So, you know, a production contract, or even nowadays, even some of our developmental work, we take the time to do open calls for them, equity required calls. And I always encourage people to attend those, even if they aren't an equity member, because oftentimes there's time to see the non-equity people. So that's a very good way. Another way is the technology that's available to everyone these days has been, I think, a tremendous help to early career actors. A lot of people have websites, and I use them a lot because so much of the casting that I do is casting a reading or a workshop where there might not be a lot of auditions. So I'm in a position of recommending and suggesting actors rather than organizing auditions for them. And so, you know, whatever tape or reels that someone might have, clips of her singing on at 54 Below, or at even at, you know, a small concert. All of those things are become tools for me to share with people who, with creative teams who might not know the actors themselves. So those are two ways. And I always love to hear that somebody is doing something. You know, if you're doing some sort of an off Broadway piece that you have helped put together yourself, I might not get there, and I might try to get someone else in the office to go. But just knowing that you're doing that is exciting to me, and it just becomes part of what I know about you. So I always like actors to you know, send us information about the things that they're doing.
Yeah, you must get a lot of invitations.
We do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the self tape, I think it's called, because we had Melissa Errico, the singer and actress, on as a guest, and she wrote an article in the New York Times, and I think you were interviewed for it, in fact, where she discussed that about how technology has changed things. People now submitting videos. How has that impacted the process? Does it make roles more accessible to less experienced or non-union actors? And are the union actors, how do they feel about that?
I try to think of self-taping as a tool. The things that it helps me with are things like if I'm casting a regional production and I'm very excited about an actor, but she happens to be working at Milwaukee Rep, and there's just no way for her to get to New York. So she can send a tape. And then if there's as much excitement as I anticipate there's going to be about that actor, we can figure it out. We can arrange to have her come in on her day off, hopefully, or we can maybe arrange a Skype session so that at least we can have some interaction with her. So those are the good aspects of it. I don't think that it has replaced it in the theater. I'm only talking about the theater, but I don't think it has replaced the live audition, at least not in my world. I know that a lot of people talk about, oh, I have to self-tape for this and that, and I understand that it might feel to the actors as if we have taken some of the responsibility for the audition away from ourselves and put it on them, which actually that's what it is. But in situations where someone is far away, or you know, it becomes a really helpful tool. We also can tape final auditions for people who live in London, and so the team doesn't have to always be here for every single person, and we can tape replacement auditions, which I think is helpful because, you know, if you're an actor auditioning to play a part in a long-running show, I can't share your work with the director, you know, who's no longer here, but that's a way that I can share your work, and I can increase opportunities for actors by taping rather than sticking to someone that, you know, a director might already know or have already worked with. So those are the good parts of it. I do understand the word that comes to mind is burden. I'm not sure that's the precise word, but I understand the burden that it might seem like, that it must seem like to many actors.
It's, you know, it's a technology's changing, I think, things for all of us.
Yes.
In every industry.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Well, since you're an expert on all these matters, I hope you can indulge us to maybe clarify a few related things for young artists who are starting out and their parents. What is the difference between an agent and a manager, for example?
Well, agents are usually part of a team of agents, you know, an agency, and they have a roster of clients. They're involved in the actor's life in terms of career development, guiding them toward particular roles, helping them organize the materials that they need, you know, arranging appointments. Managers have a tendency, managers will usually have fewer clients and will be more involved in the more personal aspects of a performer's life, helping them with their social media, helping them with their, you know, the opening night clothes, helping them arrange for introducing them to publicists and people like that. So it's a much more individual aspect of representation and talent management.
And do you deal with both?
Or? We do.
Yeah.
We do.
One more frequently than the other, or?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, oftentimes you speak to the agent and then the manager calls and you have the exact same conversation with the manager. But I like talking to both. And I think sometimes I can, especially if an actor is kind of a high profile person, sometimes talking to his or her manager gives you the information I need more quickly. Oh, he's really not focusing on theater right now, or he's going to be traveling, or he's making a movie in Indonesia for 3 months. So, like, all of that information kind of comes much more quickly sometimes from the manager because she has fewer people that she has to deal with, you know. But yeah. But there's so many, you know, there are very good agents and very good managers, so it's a personal thing.
Yeah, the one other distinction I wanted to ask you about was, you know, there's this university versus conservatory question that I think a lot of students face, or young people trying to get into theater. Do you have thoughts about one versus the other, the benefits? Or
it's so individualistic. You know, I think that there are some people who know from such an early age that what they want to do is be a performer, and so going to a conservatory is absolutely the right decision and the right for the right move for them. The kind of education that they want and that they need is specialized. It's acting, singing, dancing. You know, that's the kind of education that they want and that will serve them best. it's not the only way to become a great actor, you know. And I always think that, you know, an actor who has a range of experiences throughout her life, traveling, doing other jobs, finding other related, maybe allied fields that you like to work in. You know, we live in a world where I think young people are very, they're hyphenates, you know, they write, they sing, they dance, they music direct. It's, they play instruments. It's amazing. And I love that. And so whatever you can do to develop your full self and your full soul, I think is the right thing for you. So for instance, I went to Boston University, and I was in the acting program at the Fine Arts College, which is a BFA program. And after 2 years, I realized that the kind of education I wanted was broader than that, that I wanted a more liberal arts education at that point in my life. So I transferred into the liberal arts college and majored in English. And then I did some other things in New York before I started casting. So I feel like that was the right background for me. If while I was in college, I had heard that there were casting directors, I probably would have never done anything else. You know, I probably, because it really was sort of the right spot for me in this world, the right job for me. Very few people land exactly on what they're going to do, you know, in their 20s. So I think that people should kind of, I love the idea of young people taking the time to explore.
Right. And as a performer, certainly you have to be a hyphenate nowadays. I mean, the term triple threat we've always had, but now it's like quadruple threat,
yes.
Quintuple threat. You have to play instruments and do gymnastics, some of these roles.
Yes. Yes. So the more well-rounded and the more time you take, it's very hard to have a strong artistic need, you know, and desire, and also be patient. And I think that that's probably the, you know, attention in artists' lives. That's one of the most difficult things that they have to navigate. It's like, you know, giving themselves time to be and also feel like they're pursuing their goals. That's a challenge.
Yeah, sure is. Well, along those lines, if you could advise a young performer, or for that matter, the parent of a young performer, generally what to expect from the casting process, you know, emotionally as well as the technical aspect, what sort of words of wisdom could you offer?
Oh, it's such a good question. I would say that parents should emphasize the process aspect of casting, that actors go on many, many auditions, and that's part of the job. And so, you know, when you leave an audition, if you have shared your talent and had a good time, that's a successful audition. And as I think keeping the focus on the fun of it all, the what did we learn from that, who did we meet that was interesting, let's read up on him, whatever they can do to make it a broader experience than just like, was my son called back, was my son, you know. And I also think I realize this is a lot to ask, but the more the parents can be the support and not the subject of the experience.
Oh, I know what you mean.
You know, it's just to like, just let it be what it is. And just concentrate on the fun and the fact that, you know, you got to do something fun and you were brave. You went in and did it. You must be, you know, you must be pretty proud of yourself for doing what you did. And I am proud of you, son, for doing what you did, and just kind of letting it go from there, de-emphasizing the other part of it. I think that's really important for young performers, and it's actually probably not bad for early career artists to like tell themselves that too, you know.
Right, and I'm sure that's part of what you do as well.
Yes, especially with children, you know. I always think that. Children have to do an adult's job. You know, it's not like the the kids who are in School of Rock were doing a junior version of being in a Broadway show. They have to be there eight shows a week. They have to do exactly what all of the adults are doing. And there's no other, you know, at least in the, you know, industrial world, there's not a place where we do that anymore, you know? And so whatever kind of supports we can give them while they're in that experience of you know, having to put a good bit of their childhood on hold while they're working. They're going to work every day. I know the Actors Fund has a lot of resources and a whole beautiful center for the families of children who are in Broadway shows to go and, you know, just having a physical space for a family to hang out while they're waiting for to pick up their son or daughter at the stage door. Like, that's a problem for some families if you live, you know, you don't live in Manhattan. So the Actors Fund, I think, has really stepped up to try to help the families and in those situations and offer some services, counseling, you know. And I think the more we can remind, on my side of it, we have to remind ourselves that they're children, you know.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and so.
Oh, yeah. No, I know what you mean. I have a 12-year-old, so... Well, since the title and the mission of this podcast is develop your character, I'll wrap by asking you, what does that word character mean to you?
Well, in my life, character is sort of like what, you know, who you are, you know, how you deal with adversity, how you deal with stresses and even, you know, the great joys of your life, like how you handle those things is your character. And it's funny because I use that word a lot. Like, oh my God, he has really deep character. He's got great character. So that's what it means to me personally. The characters, obviously, in the work that I do are all different and, you know, require an actor to dive into them and try to fill them out with details.
Yeah, so that they work with each other, I suppose, you know? Everything informs everything else.
One other thing that I think is, well, I started to say important, but I'm not sure that's exactly the right word. But one thing that parents can remember is that if your children love singing and dancing and acting and literature and music, there are all kinds of opportunities for them to do that aren't professional. So just because your son is the best tap dancer in his class or your child sings beautifully, he or she doesn't have to start auditioning for Broadway shows. There are so many, you know, robust programs in New York that kids can go to and have a performance opportunity and have an educational opportunity. And so, you know, I hope that parents realize that keeping it fun is the primary thing with young performers.
Absolutely. That's how they learn, generally, by having fun. Well, thanks again, Tara. And thanks to all of you who've tuned into this episode of Develop Your Character. We're always looking for listeners' input. So if you have a question or observation about Tara, about something else that we've discussed, or anything theater or character related, you can reach us on social media or visit our website. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, you can leave a review on iTunes or share with your friends on social media. For more information on Camp Broadway, Broadway's original destination for theater-loving kids, check out our site at campbroadway.com.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.